Thank you, TJ, for leading us in that song as it springboards us into the study of the hour. The other day, I was back in the foyer with some of the members of the congregation and mentioned about the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore falling, and I said, you know, there's a lesson there. I think I just need to think about it a little more. But I'm sure you have seen it on the news, right? A cargo ship crashed into one of the piles and down came the bridge, right? I was really shocked and amazed, actually, to see it the first couple of times. I had to rewind it a couple of times to see it. Evidently, the bridge was not as solid as they thought, or just the cargo ship is just that much more powerful than what anyone imagined. But one thing that I saw this past week was somebody who had taken a previous video, obviously before the bridge had fallen on a different day. They rode the length of the entire bridge from start to finish, and you could basically go along with them on the ride on that video, and you could see the concrete walls and the solid road and the overhead iron support beams. And the caption of the video was, "It seemed so solid." And indeed, it did, I must admit, watching that video. It reminded me of any other bridge I've ever really rode on. I really couldn't detect a difference myself. And yet it still fell. And when you watch the video, it just really looked like toothpicks as it just fell apart. It looked like, I know cars were coming across the bridge. I'm not sure if all of them made it across. I do know some lives were lost, construction workers. And a solid bridge came tumbling down. Maybe you remember when the World Trade Centers also fell down in New York City. It was one of those unbelievable kind of moments. Those buildings seemed so strong and so tall and so solid, and yet they fell. They came down as well. Well, the sermon's titled "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." We are familiar with that song. You know how the rest of the chorus goes, right? All other ground is sinking sand. So that song reminds us where we must place our faith. It is a great song indeed. Many have misplaced their faith today as they have every day. They often place it on sinking sand. And the song reminds us that really any other ground is sinking sand. But I was thinking about Bible illustrations, and there are so many illustrations in the Bible of things sinking or things crashing. For example, you might recall the walls of Jericho, which was the boast of that city, and they came tumbling down. You might think about the ground that was underneath Korah and those that were with Korah that split apart, and Korah and them that were with them fell into the cracks that were opened up in the ground. You might think of the ship that Paul was on as he was arrested and they were heading towards Rome, and the ship broke apart and was destroyed by the Iroquois. And there was also the Tower of Siloam that came crashing down onto the ground, killing 18 that Jesus referenced in one of his sermons. And so as I reference a bridge in one of my sermons, you can think about how Jesus would use an illustration like that and did in his own time of a tower that fell. Solid things until they became sinking sand. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll read this example given by Jesus himself. In verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." I believe this is where this song, "The Solid Rock," is based upon. This teaching of Jesus right here. Building our house upon the rock where things of life can come and it will not fall because it's founded upon Christ, the solid rock. Verse 26 says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall." All other ground is sinking sand. If one builds their house on those things, they will find themselves falling in time to come. So I thought it might do us some good to look at some things that are sinking sand when compared to the solid Christ. The first one being our friends and family. In Psalm 118, notice what the psalmist says here in verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. One is better than the other. And he says it's better to put trust in the Lord. In Psalm 146, notice verse 3. The psalmist here says, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help." Right? They can be there for us one moment and then gone the next. It was true for Jesus for a while, if you think about it, when his family didn't want to have close ties with Jesus. And they'd cry out for him afar off. Even the Bible tells us in John chapter 7 that some of Jesus' brothers did not believe in him for a time. In Mark chapter 3, there verse 35, Jesus said this, John 3:35, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother," when his physical, fleshly family were calling for him. He turned to the audience that was interested in spiritual things. He said, "I consider you who do the will of God my family." And we should thank God for our spiritual family, our brethren, because they can help us when we are down and out. But I want to say again that it is on Christ that we must place our feet upon, because even brethren can let us down sometimes too. There are times, and I'm including myself in this, where we might say the wrong thing at the wrong time, or we can fail, or we're not available in a needed hour. And I want you to know that Jesus felt that same way towards his brethren sometimes as well. If you think about Jesus in the garden, when Peter, James, and John were brought with him to pray with him, and they could not pray with him. They kept falling asleep. In Mark 14, there, verse 37, it says, "Then he came and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour?" So what does Jesus do? He departs again and prays again to the Father. Jesus had to solely trust in the Father, because even sometimes our brethren can let us down as well. We cannot put our full faith and confidence and trust in man, even if they be close to us, friends and family. Our feet must be placed upon the solid rock of Christ. Another thing that people often place their confidence on, and that is our health. Psalm 103, the psalmist said, starting in verse 13. Psalm 103 and verse 13. It says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him." Better to place your confidence than on the mercy of the Lord. That endures. That has no beginning and end. It is everlasting to everlasting. But our days, well, they certainly do come to an end. We're just like dust. We're just like grass. We're just like a flower of the field. But many do place their confidence in their good health today. I was thinking, you know, much compared to old days, many of our jobs or work are sedentary, where we sit a lot. You can read in the Bible where these individuals were farmers and fishermen and physical laborers. Even the apostles walking from here and walking to there, here, there, and everywhere with Jesus. They all had to be in pretty good shape to do that, if you think about it. Especially the terrain that they had to cross was not easy terrain. So what do? Well, we try to eat better and work out more, right? And there are some health benefits to be gained from both of those. And I think we should try to do good to our body. God has given to us, right? We are to be stewards of them. But we cannot always place our confidence in our present health. There are things sometimes that are beyond our control. I don't think Brother Dan would mind me sharing this because we shared it when he actually had it happen. As healthy as he is and as healthy as he eats, just a few years ago he had to have a stent put in. And the doctors had said, it's not your fault, it's just genetics. You know, it's just genetics. You might see on the recent news, Kate Middleton recently revealed that she has cancer. Cancer doesn't care if you're beautiful or rich or famous or a princess of Wales, as she is. These things can take place. The reality is 10 out of 10 eventually die. Now that doesn't mean we should seek to shorten our lives or abuse our lives or be que sera sera and you know, use drugs or whatever it is. No, God is not glorified with such. But just to remind ourselves not to place our trust in our current health. We need to thank God every day to be alive because life is short. In James chapter 4, James also warned of such boasting. James 4, there verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. He's warning, don't do that. Don't boast in that. In your health, in your life, in your current standing or situation, realize that we all stand because of the grace of God, who, as Daniel says, holds our breath within His hands. Place your feet upon the solid rock of Christ and not the sinking sands of friends and family or health. But another thing that came to mind in this is our national peace. When was the last time we had a national war? I know there was a lengthy war on terror, but it was a different type of war compared to wars as we know it. Wars like such as taking place in Ukraine right now or on the Gaza Strip. But if you look at American history, which is not a lot, you see we've had a number of wars. The Revolutionary War, right? The War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. There's been a whole history of wars that we have had countrymen be involved in. Nearly every generation has known war. Some of these are far away and some had been on this soil in the past. Fathers and sons being sent to die if necessary. We take for granted that we've had no United States draft for the Army for so many decades. We can think that our peace over here could last forever. But we'd be sadly disappointed when we see the course of history that always seems to repeat itself. You know, we cannot imagine what it would be like to live in war-torn Ukraine right now. I believe the pictures don't do it justice, like many things in life that we see that are to our amazement, right? Our family's going to travel to see the solar eclipse. We saw it here when it came through Franklin. We're going to see it again. Because pictures can't do it justice. You got to see it in real life to really get the full scope of it. Same with the Grand Canyon, right? There's things that pictures don't do justice, and I think war is one of those. That if you saw it, we'd wonder how would we make it even another hour, let alone a day. Now, I'm not saying there's never a reason to go to war or to be involved in war. You know, God had Israel in the Old Testament fight many wars. many wars. We've had peace on U.S. soil for so many years, but we cannot place our confidence on the sinking sands of our national peace. I think about Daniel chapter 5, where Babylon felt so confident in their defenses, in their magnificent walls. If you study history, they talk about how thick those walls were, how many chariots could ride across them lengthwise, widthwise, and how tall those walls were. And yet, you read in Daniel chapter 5, while they were out partying, Daniel is sent to interpret the writing on the wall and says, "Tonight you're going to fall." And they did. History tells us that the invaders had diverted the waters that went under the walls. Therefore, they could go under the walls. And they marched right on in that city and took the city. They were overconfident in their defenses. Even the Jews in Jeremiah's days could not see how they could be destabilized and destroyed. Look in Jeremiah chapter 6. This is a little preview for our Bible class to come. Jeremiah dealt with war-torn Israel, and Jerusalem was next to fall. And there in Jeremiah chapter 6, you have some in verse 14. They were teaching, it's okay, everything's going to be all right. Verse 14, God says, "They've healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." So you had people, prophets, false prophets saying, "It's going to be okay. Peace is coming. We're going to survive this." And God says, "There is no peace." Verse 15, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed at all, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord." So they had this false sense of security. We're going to be all right. And God says, "You're going to fall." In Isaiah 40, Isaiah, who prophesied some time before Jeremiah, before a lot of the devastation did take place, God talked about the nations and how they pretty much are small compared to Him. But I like the way that God described it better than I did there. In Isaiah 40, verse 15, He says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor is its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted by Him less than nothing and worthless." Americans need to let that sink home. These great empires, He says, are less than a drop in a bucket. And so too is our country as well. We thank God for our peace and safety that we've enjoyed here in this country for many years, where we can raise our kids in relative safety and enjoy the things in life that this country affords us. But what may seem solid is sinking sand. Don't place your faith in our defenses. Don't place your faith in our president. Don't place your faith in our power as a nation. We have seen some things really change here in a short amount of time. Now, we have to recognize that all nations before Him as nothing. And so we need to be careful to not misplace our faith. Now, I'm going to say a little more in the next point. Another thing that people can place their faith in is in our riches and in the U.S. economy. Our country is the richest country in the world. The dollar is the reserve currency for the world. And right there, that keeps us in power when everyone has to use our currency to purchase oil or other commodities. That right there gives us power right now. But there is the undoing of the system by even our own government right now, by the inflating away of the dollar, when they can just print money into existence. And the stats are pretty clear. A dollar today would have been something you'd been $20 decades ago. Isn't this something? You can see the drop of the value, the dollar eroding away through the years. Well, beyond the slow monetary decline taking place, there's also the way in which our country inflates the deficit, $34 trillion at this current moment. I will spare you from the unfunded liabilities, which number in the hundreds of trillions. And for you to grasp that, you can see what $1 million looks like next to the guy's feet. 100 million, 1 billion, and then 1 trillion. And those are double stacks. 34 trillion of that in debt. There is no hope of paying that off ever. That is not a strategy that they are taking. Beyond that, there are events called black swan events, which are unpredictable events that is beyond what is normally expected of a situation, has potentially severe consequences. So, such as the falling of that bridge. That was a black swan event for Maryland, which has shut down factories, shut down a lot of these cargo places. They cannot get shipping in, they cannot get shipping out, people losing jobs, factories are on hold. They did not predict it. They didn't see it coming. That is a black swan event. But that was more local. National ones or global ones are like COVID, what we experienced in 2020, or the 2008 banking failure crisis. So surprise attacks in war, an EMP attack, these kinds of things, these have devastating causes on an economy and a financial sector. Jobs are wiped out overnight. Inflation goes to hyperinflation. Supply lines are broken, and everyone panics because it was a black swan event. So one might be able to read the markets now, hedge their investments as best they can, learn where to make some money or where jobs will be more secure. But black swan events are there to wreck it all. Just like a bridge in Baltimore did not foresee the shipping boat that day, it came out of nowhere. So what does the Bible tell us? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, there verse 17. Paul says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy. I'm here to tell you, if you're a citizen of this country, you are rich. When we're talking about, you say, well, not compared to my neighbor. Compare yourself to the world. You and I are filthy rich. And God says, do not place your trust in that. Do not be haughty or prideful. Rather, place your trust in the living God. Put your foot on the solid rock, right? Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. We are just stewards of these blessings given to us by God. Make sure we're striving for the right things in life. In Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs, the proverb writer said this in verse 4 and verse 5. Proverbs 23, verse 4 and verse 5. He says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you not set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and they fly away like an eagle towards heaven. Just right when you think you got it, there it goes. Make sure you're not putting your trust there. Be here one moment, gone the next. Put it in the living God. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and verse 6. Here he says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So this context of him not forsaking us or leaving us was in the context of saying, you don't have to worry about striving or overworking to be rich. I'll give you what you need. I'll take care of you. Be content with what you have. Don't be covetous, right? Always desiring more, desiring whatever, keeping up with the Joneses, right? I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You can think about those in the Bible that didn't listen to such advice. The rich young ruler, right? He left Jesus because he had great possessions. You can think about the man who wanted to break down his barns that he had and build greater barns. All of it was sinking sand. Sinking sand. And if we place our faith in the riches and the goodness of our U.S. economy, if it's wiped out, you will see individuals take their lives because that was where their life was wrapped up in. Let's make sure ours is not. So we need to be reminded, friends, our Lord is the only solid rock. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus questions the apostles about who he is. And Simon Peter answers in verse 16. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church." What's this rock he's going to build his church on? It's this confession of Peter that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Based upon that bedrock truth, his church can be built, which you and I are to be a part of if we are Christians. We are to be already standing on that rock, built upon that rock. And notice he says next, and the gates of Hades should not prevail against it. Right? Because it's a house built on the rock, and it's going to stand. He is the only one you and I can truly count on because he is eternal. Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Do you know of anything older than that? More dependable for a longer period of time than that? Neither do I. He is our solid rock because he is powerful. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. He said, God, there's nothing too hard for you. Do you believe that? Can you see why our trust then is never misplaced when it is on this rock? Turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and verse 8 and verse 9. Psalm 145 verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord is our only solid rock because he is the true expression of mercy. He is merciful. He is great and slow to anger. Aren't you glad that this is his default character? He's not quick to anger, but rather slow to it. He chooses mercy to those desiring his ways. His mercy is something we can place our trust in. He is the only solid rock because he is the Word of God. Remember John chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If he is the solid rock in which I stand, then so too is his Word, for they're one, aren't they? We can trust it like we trust him. When he says one thing, we can believe that one thing. If he talks about there is this place of eternal bliss called heaven, then you and I can take that to the bank. We don't have to doubt it one bit. We can believe in it, that there is a better life. So when the sinking sands of this life take place, we're protected because we've placed our faith on the promises of God. And God cannot lie. I mean, can you think of someone, anyone or anything that's older, stronger, kinder, or more truthful neither can I. He is our solid rock. Now I want to qualify. None of this is to say that you should adopt a position then where you just sit back and do nothing. Or you don't care about your health, right? Or you don't care if you earn a living. Or don't care if you have close ties with your friends or family. Or don't care if we have peace, right? He wants you to live and to make your best decisions in life. To work, to seek to provide, to protect your own. To make wise decisions for safety and for your future. But ultimately, He wants you to know that your trust must be placed in Him. For He is the only solid foundation for faith. Build your house on the what? The rock. And not on the what? The sand. And all of the ground is sinking sand. Even the ones we thought was pretty solid. Right? Just like they thought in Maryland, that bridge was solid. Just like when I went with that person on that little YouTube video over the bridge, it seemed so solid. I would agree, it sure seemed so. But it fell last week, didn't it? And it's going to take them months and months to clear it out. I even saw a picture of the crane. You imagine a crane trying to somehow buoy and balance on the water, which isn't solid ground, and yet still try to lift and cut and saw. It's going to take a long time. So we're here to say, believe in the Lord and do His word, and you will never be moved, because then you are on the rock, the solid rock. Yes, it is a truly sad thing we saw this past week, and we mourn for those families that lost loved ones, in that it could have been way worse if they didn't have warning and try and shut down the bridge. But it's even more sad when people put their trust in other things in life that will collapse as well. Or they go to their grave trusting those things, and that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not seeking to do His will. Remember, that's what the Lord said. The one who builds their house on the rock is the one who hears these sayings of mine and does them. That one, He says, is the one that builds on the rock. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not placed your full confidence in Christ yet. Are you ready and willing to do that? To recognize that other things in life can be here one minute, gone the next, but Christ will always be there. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is true. You can believe it because He is the Word. Place your faith in that one and be willing to obey that one. That one says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You can believe that. You can take that to the bank because He said it. It's golden. It's good. Have you done that yet? Maybe you've done that, but you've fallen away. That same one says that He's not done with you if you'll come back in repentance and pray that the thought of your heart will be forgiven you. It will be. And you can take that to the bank too. You will be restored and renewed and just as sin-free as if you were coming out of the waters of baptism. Because you are a son of God, a child of God, and He listens to the cries of the broken heart. And the one that truly is sorry and remorseful for their sin. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing? Let the word depart. And close thine eyes against the light. For sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight?
Will thou be saved? Will thou be saved? Then why not? Oh, why not tonight?